Hello, I'm Amanda McNulty with Clemson Extension and Making It Grow, and this is Making It Grow Extra. My guest today is Paul Thompson, and I consider Paul to be one of my gurus when it comes to pruning. He seems to have strong ideas about it and be particularly adept at it. So let's learn about something that most people know absolutely nothing about. Paul, there are some just kind of basic things that maybe if you share some of them with us, we can become more aware as we prune about what's going to happen if we make certain kinds of pruning cuts.
Well, I think the main thing people need to understand is you ought to approach pruning as a target. There are targets on the plant that tell you where you need to prune that plant. I like the analogy of Tinker Toys. Now, if the audience is really, really young, they might not know what a Tinker Toy is. But most of us, 35 years and older.
I know where mine are in the attic.
Know what Tinker Toys are. And so think of a plant kind of the way you put a Tinker Toy set together.
Mm-hmm.
You have the nodes. The nodes are little round things.
Yeah.
You would have in a Tinker Toy set, and then the inner nodes
are the colorful,
are the sticks that you plug in at each node.
Okay.
So to the growing points to building some Tinker Toy structure starts at the nodes. On a plant, these nodes occur every place that a leaf adjoins a twig. So on new growth, where you see a leafy stem, if you follow that leaf down, there's a leaf stalk, and that leaf stalk is attached to the little woody twig.
Yes.
And right above where that attachment is a lateral bud, or an axillary bud is another name for it. And that can either be, it can be a flower bud in there too, but we're talking about the vegetative buds,
mm-hmm.
what's going to give rise to new growth. So that little lateral bud doesn't form a leaf. It forms many leaves and a new stem. So if that plant induces that bud to sprout and grow, then it's going to be a side branch coming off of what the twig it was growing on.
What makes it induce and grow?
Well, plants are full of hormones, and hormones make things happen, and the hormones are stimulated by environmental things. So mostly sunlight, sometimes just stresses, but most of the growth is controlled through particular auxin hormones within the plant and their reactions with sunlight. And so the bud at the end of a branch is the kind of the boss. It's the terminal bud.
Mm-hmm.
It produces an auxin hormone that kind of migrates down the stem and kind of suppresses the immediate growth of those lateral buds. If you could imagine every place a leaf was, if there was also a twig, soon the whole plant would just be a whole mass of twigs.
It looked like your hair on a really bad day.
It would not regulate itself.
Now some of these are kind of latent. We don't necessarily see them. They're kind of waiting.
Right.
There.
So,
is that correct?
So all buds don't grow.
Yeah.
They're produced by the plant, but some are suppressed from growth, and yet they will be retained as a latent or dormant bud.
So they have the ability.
The bark grows on around them. You don't see them anymore.
Yeah.
But they're held for a rainy day, so the hurricane comes through and knocks the top out of the tree, and suddenly you see sprouting occurring on the trunk, or commonly people move into a neighborhood that was once a forest.
Yes.
And they cleared the woods around for a house to be mm-hmm. built, and so all of those sides of those tall, skinny tree trunks in that forest situation that are now exposed to sunlight, you will see this adventitious growth now growing on the tree trunk where there weren't any branches.
Because the sunlight stimulated
The sunlight that. Stimulated that growth to happen.
But other things can stimulate it too, because you said if the top breaks off.
Well, right. So sometimes insects like the emerald ash borer, when it starts killing that ash tree from the top down, you'll get basal sprouting.
Mm-hmm. Trying to stay alive.
Yeah. So the plant has these buds in reserve for a rainy day in case they're needed. It's usually just sunlight, which is really regulating all of this growth and allowing something to grow and suppressing something from growing. Just think about, so we have a bud where a leaf is, and that sprouts and grows into another woody stem. As you get some age to that, it grows in diameter into a big woody branch. And so on and so forth. So That's still the node, though. That's where it emerged from. So when we prune, we target prune to prune back to a node. So we can either head a branch, we call them just shortening a branch. We just follow that branch down to where there's a leaf attached, or in the wintertime, if no leaves on the deciduous plant, you'll easily see those vegetative buds to see a node to prune back to. If we have an area where it's older and you no longer have visible buds, then you prune back to where there's a lateral branch coming off of what you're trying to shorten or reduce. Or we take it all the way back to where it originated from. So, like removing a branch all the way back to the tree trunk.
Oh, to the main
stem.
So
when you have a branch in question, this branch is being problematic. Maybe it's
in the way.
The way of pedestrian traffic underneath the canopy and stuff. There are ways where we can reduce that branch back to a existing lateral branch along there. And we probably have many different choices of target places to prune that, to shorten that back to. Or we can take it all the way back to the trunk where it originated. But the key is just pinpointing. You don't leave stubs where, say, you're pruning a branch off of a tree and you leave a stub sticking out 3 or 4 inches because two things are going to happen. Either there's some latent buds that are going to sprout and start growing there, or it dies and it becomes colonized by wood decay organisms, and then those things.
So it's a point of entry for disease.
It's a point of entry for decay to get down deeper into the trunk of the tree.
It's like a wound that won't heal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So we, there are certain places. There are many cuts that can be made on a plant for different reasons.
Well, now, what if I keep hearing about thinning cuts and heading cuts. And a thinning cut, I guess, is when you go back to what you've been describing and
it's either reducing the length of a branch back to a lateral or completely removing.
And that's not going to cause a lot of new growth. It actually just removes that part and you're left with what
you
did.
And that's what people don't understand about shearing. Well, shearing, okay, it's easy. You kind of, you pick a line. You got the thing that cuts a lot of stuff at once.
Get out that noisy machine.
In a quick amount of time, you can go out there and shape up, give your tree a haircut. Not tree, but your shrubs a haircut. But if you think about it, all you're doing is creating more work for yourself. You are adding an additional stress on the plant because, it already put out its new growth for the spring.
Yeah.
We live in a temperate climate, and the plants that are adapted to temperate climates, they don't continue to grow. Those buds sprout in the spring. You get that elongation
that
of stem.
That nice flush of spring growth.
And then those leaves mature. It sets its buds for next year, and it's
through
growing.
And it starts making carbohydrates and feeding itself.
It starts making carbohydrates. Yeah. And it's feeding that root system.
Yeah.
So every time we shear a plant,
it has to start.
We're stimulating it to grow more foliage. So we're making that plant, instead of using those resources to store in the stems and the roots for next year, those resources, those photosynthates, are now having to be used to regrow some more.
To do the same thing it just finished doing. It thought it was through with that.
And so the shearing also brings about the fact that slowly over time your plant has to get bigger. Because, unless you're cutting it back to naked sticks every time you shear, you've sheared it. All growth's going to start from that point. Those things get 6 inches long. You go cut them back halfway. So already that plant's gotten 3 inches taller that year. And then, and you're shearing several times.
So really you're not even keeping it within bounds if that had been your goal.
No. You can go in and do some target pruning with a pair of hand pruners, where you're reaching inside and you're taking that offensive, tall, out-of-bounds growth back to a node down inside of the plant. That's not going to stimulate any growth to occur.
So the plant's not going to have to work hard to recover from that.
Right. So it's better for the plant not to shear it. And there's many other reasons we don't have time to go into today. Learning something about plants and how plants are put together, it's not that difficult. It's kind of, they're obvious visual clues on the plant of where pruning places need to occur.
We have a fact sheet that I tell people I found helpful, and it's called thinning shrubs or pruning shrubs. And they talk about heading cuts and thinning cuts, and they have some pictures. And I think if somebody...
Heading cut is what you do to make something bushier. You're trying to encourage more sprouting, more growing points.
And that's what that shearing just constantly does over and over. And there are times when you want to do that, but it's certainly not every time you want to reduce or just shape.
Right. If you've got a leggy plant, you want it to fill in, you want it to branch more, get a little bushier, then yes, you do some heading cuts. But it doesn't need to be everything on the plant is headed back to create something to fill in this kind of void area where a branch didn't normally develop. Eventually the plant would take care of that all on its own. You're just trying to speed up the process.
One nice thing, too, is when you get out those hedge pruners, they make such an awful noise, and a pair of hand clippers is a quiet thing to do on a Saturday morning.
It sure is.
Thank you so much, Paul.